Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service, Text Number 18. Jnana Vairagya Yuktena Bhakti Yuktena Chatmana Paripashyat Yudasinam Prakritim chahatau jasam Jnana, knowledge. Vairagya, renunciation. Yuktena, equipped with. Bhakti, devotional service. Yuktena, equipped with. Cha, and. Atmana, by the mind. Paripashyati, one sees. Udasinam, indifferent. Prakritim, material existence. Cha, and. Hata ojasam, reduced in strength. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. Purport. As the contamination of the germs of a particular disease can influence a weaker person, similarly, the influence of material nature or illusory energy can act on the weaker or conditioned soul, but not on the liberated soul. Self-realization is the position of the liberated state. One understands his constitutional position by knowledge and vairagya, renunciation. Without knowledge, one cannot have realization. The realization that one is the infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit makes him unattached to material conditional life. That is the beginning of devotional service. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, one cannot engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, it is stated, Jnana Vairagya Yuktena. When one is in full knowledge of one's constitutional position and is in the renounced order of life, detached from material attraction, then by pure devotional service, bhakti yuktena, he can engage himself as a loving servant of the Lord. Paripashyati means that he can see everything in its right perspective. Then the influence of material nature becomes almost nil. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma-bhuta-prasanatma. When one is self-realized, he becomes happy and free from the influence of material nature. And at that time, he is freed from lamentation and hankering. The Lord states that position as madbhaktim labhate param, the real state of beginning devotional service. Similarly, it is confirmed in the Narada Pancharatra that when the senses are purified, they can then be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. One who is attached to material contamination cannot be a devotee. Translation once again. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. Could you turn the fan lower, please? This fan? Or even off? Om Gyanati Manandasya Ginagana Shalakaya Chakshurum Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yat Kripam Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastatya Deshatarini Vanchakalpatyubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Lord Kapila is continuing to describe the characteristics of the self-realized soul. Yesterday's verse was, because today's verse starts out in that position of self-realization, then I'll review yesterday's verse. At that time, the soul can see himself to be transcendental to material existence and always self-effulgent, never fragmented, although very minute in size. So the first item here is jnana. Of course, this refers to transcendental knowledge, not material knowledge. In fact, material knowledge can be an impediment to self-realization, and especially to advancing in the path of devotional service. This is described by Queen Kunti in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes four types of dushkritinas. Dushkritinas are those who do not surrender to Krishna. So one of them is the mayaya paritta jnana. So one whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, he becomes the one who is puffed up with material knowledge. He actually thinks himself superior to the spiritual master, having superior knowledge. He becomes proud, and unless one is humble, one cannot actually advance in devotional service, and one does not feel the inclination to surrender to Krishna. Even we see in Srila Prabhupada's time, he had different servants who were learning Sanskrit, and some of them even left devotional service thinking that they understood more than Srila Prabhupada due to their Sanskrit scholarship and reading commentaries of other acharyas. They started becoming a little proud, and in this way they gave up their association with ISKCON and the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So this knowledge is an impediment, this material knowledge. However, Divya Gyan, that is given by the spiritual master, the Shastras, and the Sadhus. Just like we pray every day during Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja, Chakshudana Diloje Jami Jami Prabhu Se Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. He opens my eyes and he fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. And for this, actually, Jame Jame Prabhu Se, we're indebted to the Guru, life after life, for this gift of transcendental knowledge. So this is perfect knowledge. It's not influenced by the conditioned nature of the conditioned souls. All conditioned souls have four defects. The tendency to cheat, imperfect senses, to make mistakes, and is that four? I think I named four, huh? Okay, so therefore knowledge which is gained by the material senses, that's imperfect knowledge. But in Bhagavad Gita and throughout the Vaishnava Shastras, Krishna is giving perfect knowledge. And even the Vedic knowledge, material knowledge, is perfect knowledge, just like Ayurveda. Huh? So now it's becoming very popular in the West, Ayurveda. And they're finding that this ancient science is actually, it's very valid. So the modern medical scientists, they want to claim that their knowledge is superior. But actually, if you go back to the Chinese herbal medicine and the Ayurvedic text, the Ayurvedic medicine, this knowledge is thousands of years old, but it's actually superior to the Western knowledge. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives not only transcendental knowledge, but practical knowledge. For example, Srila Prabhupada gives the peace formula. So Krishna is giving this formula for peace, how peace can be achieved all over the world. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam, sarva loka maheshwaram, suhridam sarva bhutanam, gyatvamam shantim richchati. So this is a formula for individual peace as well as collective peace within society. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is also giving knowledge that will solve the economic problem. So basically the economic problem is how to eat, how to find shelter, like that. So Krishna is giving knowledge. Yagya shishashino shanto. We can get food grains by performing sacrifice. So much practical knowledge is there, as well as transcendental knowledge, how to attain the supreme destination. So then knowledge leads to renunciation. That is the next item, vairagya. So without knowledge, basically the materialists, they have no inclination to renounce things, to renounce material life. They think that the goal of life is to enjoy the senses up to the utmost. And because they don't have knowledge of the soul, aham brahmasmi, because they're identifying through the false ego that the body is the self, then they think happiness comes through engaging the senses in sense gratification. And in this way, they have no inclination towards renunciation. Just like I spoke to my mother a little while ago, and she's 80 years old. And my father passed away some time ago, several years ago. And my mother, her inclination is she always wanted to go places and do things. But my father was more or less a what we call a homebody. He just liked to stay home and watch TV, basically, and once a week maybe mow the lawn. But aside from that, he wasn't much of a person to go out and do things. So then, about several years ago, then my mother, she met this man, an older gentleman also, and here they are in the last stages of their life, and they're just trying to cram in as much sense gratification as they can. They travel all over the country, America, in these travel motorhomes, Winnebagos or whatever they're called. And so I was speaking to my mother on the phone, and she was telling me how, yeah, these are the last years of my life, and I'm just going to enjoy them as much as possible. And I said, but Mom, it's at the end of life, you should start thinking about your future life. You know, what's going to happen in your next life? And her reply was simply, well, I go to church on Sunday. So this is their idea of religion. You give 1 hour a week to God, and this satisfies my duty as a human being. And the rest of the time is meant for sense gratification. So, and they're inventing so many means to try to prolong that sense gratification. Just like they've developed this drug where an elderly man, although he's no longer capable to enjoy sex life, this drug is called Viagra. And so this gives him the ability to enjoy sex life, even up to the end of life. So when the senses naturally are becoming subdued due to old age and inability, and this is an indication by the law of nature that, hey, it's time to think about something else. Think about your future life. So they have this drug called Viagra, and so I was mentioning to Rajendra Prabhu the other day that they want Viagra instead of Vairagya. So there's no inclination. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya glorifies Lord Chaitanya in that famous verse, beginning Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. That Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach devotional service to himself. He came to teach real knowledge and detachment. So Lord Chaitanya taught this by precept as well as by personal example. So this is the real acharya. He teaches not only some philosophical tenets, but he also shows perfect example himself. So there's a nice verse in the 11th canto glorifying Lord Chaitanya. It begins, Tyaktva Sudushchaja Surepsita Raja Lakshmin Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yaragar Aranyam. So this means Chaptva Sudushchaja. Lord Chaitanya, he gave up that which is desired even by the demigods. Chaptva Sudushchaja Surepsita Raja Lakshmin. Sudushchaja means very difficult to give up. And Surepsita means that which is desired by the demigods. So Raja Lakshmin, the goddess of fortune. So Lord Chaitanya, he was married to the goddess of fortune, the most beautiful female. And at a young age, 24, he gave it up. He renounced it. And he went to the forest, Yaragararanyam. He went to the forest, he traveled throughout India, trying to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. So by example and by precept, he was receiving instruction from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 7 days, and he made no comment. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, "Don't you have any question? Don't you understand what I'm teaching?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I understand the purports to these shlokas, to these teachings of the Vedas that you're giving me, but I don't understand your explanation." And then he gave his explanation of the Shastras in line with devotional service, and he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, such a stalwart scholar who had so many followers and who had convinced so many others of the impersonal path. Lord Chaitanya was able to convince him, as well as Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the leader of the Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya was expert in precept as well as example. And so then the natural conclusion of knowledge and renunciation is Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavam Mab Prapadyante, that after many births and deaths, one who is actually in knowledge, the result is Gyanavan Mam Prapadyante. He surrenders to Krishna. So then the next item on the list here is Paripashyati. That means he sees things in proper perspective. So the self-realized soul, of course, he's especially when engaged in devotional service, he is seeing the true identity of all living entities, Jivera Swarup Hoy, Krishnera Nityadas. So in this way, he's seeing the true identity of all living beings. He's seeing Krishna as the owner of everything and the supreme enjoyer. And in this way, he's seeing, in general terms, he has the right perspective on life. But we see also within Srila Prabhupada's life that not only did he have this general perspective of life, but he could also understand even material things. And this is based on what knowledge super soul gives, the self-realized soul. One example is when in Russia, one man approached Rishama Sundar, and he wanted, he said, please come to my place and give me some, tell me about your yoga process. So Rishama Sundar went to Prabhupada and told him about this man, and Prabhupada said, "Don't go. He's police." So Prabhupada could understand. And there are many examples like that. One time in New York, the devotees were being cheated by one man, and Prabhupada could see through the whole thing. Also in Bombay, Prabhupada could see that this Mr. Nair, he was trying to cheat the devotees. And also there are many examples of how Srila Prabhupada could actually understand the heart of his disciples. One example is, you were telling me the other day, Rajendra, how when he initiated one person, he said, "Your name is," and I won't give the name, but such and such, Das, 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 Das. And Rajendra says he kind of knows that person somewhat, and he has a very controller, lorded over type of mentality. So Prabhupada could see that right from the beginning. And there are examples also of how devotees would be in the audience hearing one class, and they would have some question in their mind. And Prabhupada would look right at them and answer the question that they had in their mind. This also, Radhanath Maharaj explains that situation also. He hadn't yet accepted Srila Prabhupada as his guru, but he was at a class in Radha Damodar temple and he had some question like that. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and gave exactly the answer that he was looking for. So that is Paripashyati. And then the next items here on the list are Udasinam, Prakritim. That means one is indifferent to material nature. So there's a very famous verse in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Lord Shiva. And this is in relation to Chitraketu Maharaj. He had made some comment about Lord Shiva and how he was instructing some sages while Parvati was sitting on his lap. And Chitraketu made a little comment about that, made some joke, oh, how wonderful it is that he can do this. He was actually praising, but Parvati took it as an insult, and she cursed him. But Chitraketu, he did not lament, or he simply accepted the curse. And Lord Shiva speaks the very famous verse, Narayana Parasarve, Nakutashchana Bibhyati, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu, Apituyarta Darshina. So he sees with equal vision, the self-realized soul sees with equal vision what is heaven and hell. He doesn't make distinction. So we are also, Srila Prabhupada exemplified this in his life, because for him to come to America, it's kind of ironic because now so many Indians, they strive, I want to go to America, I want to go to America. But for one with transcendental vision who is situated in full Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan. And he was seeing Vrindavan as the real Goloka Vrindavan. He was not seeing through material eyes. So for him to leave Vrindavan to come to America, where Prabhupada says in his Markini Bhagavad Dharma that I'm here in Boston Harbor and I'm looking out and I see that this civilization is enmeshed in the modes of passion and ignorance. So this is not at all attractive to the pure devotee, these modes of passion and ignorance. He's attracted to Vishuddha Sattva, like that. So for him it was like hell coming to America. And the first years that Prabhupada was in America, even from a material point of view, he went through some extremely hellish conditions. We don't have to go into those because everyone knows the history. So the pure devotee, he has this equal vision, the self-realized soul. And then the next item is Hatha Ojasam. And that is the material influence becomes minimized to the self-realized soul. And in relation to this, in the purport, in this purport here, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes the verse Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kamshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. So Srila Prabhupada translates Brahma Bhuta as one with the absolute truth. Actually, before I get into that, this verse, the translation of this verse, 18:54, begins, one who is thus transcendentally situated. So that when he says thus, one who is thus transcendentally situated, therefore we can understand, to understand what that means, we have to go back to the previous verses to hear what Krishna had spoken. So verses 18:51 through 53 describe the characteristics of the self-realized soul. And that is, I'll read the translation. Being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful. Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. So these are the characteristics of the self-realized soul. And Srila Prabhupada says, as I was saying, he translates Brahma-Bhuta as one with the absolute truth. And then he explains that the impersonalist, they think that becoming one with the absolute truth, that this is the end-all and be-all, that this is the conclusion of knowledge. But for the personalist, the devotee, he has to go beyond this. But we can see that those who have come to a realization of the impersonal, this is actually one of the stages of perfection. There are three stages of self-realization, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So this is a stage of perfection. And the impersonalist who actually comes to that stage, once he takes to the personal path, then he can almost immediately advance to pure devotional service. And we see this by the four Kumaras, when they became attracted to the aroma of the tulsi leaves coming from the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, they became personalists, and practically immediately they became pure devotees. And another example is given in the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He teaches through, I believe the characters in Jiva Dharma are fictitious characters. So there was this one Sannyas Thakur. He was very elevated in knowledge and renunciation due to following the impersonal path. But at one point he had become attracted to the devotional service through the association of Vaishnavas. And as soon as he committed within his heart to take to devotional service, then practically the next day he was getting visions of Navadvip Dham in its pure transcendental form. He was seeing Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and he was getting the pure vision of Navadvip Dham. So in this way we can understand that the impersonalist, he's actually advanced in spiritual realization. So then Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, the self-realized soul, he's joyful. He's always joyful. And then this is like not a black and white situation, but actually as we advance more and more in Krishna consciousness, then we become more and more joyful, and nasochitina kanchati, we're not lamenting and hankering like that. So I was thinking that this kind of reminded me of Niranjan Swami. His health is very, very bad, and he's often suffering quite a bit. But when you look at him, he's always like happy. And so one time, one disciple was telling me, one devotee said to him, "Maharaj, you look very healthy." And he says, "Yes, of course I look healthy, because if I look ill, everyone will ask me about my health." So not wanting to meditate or be absorbed in always answering questions about his health, then he's not wanting to exhibit these symptoms. And when you associate with him, you see that he's such an extremely happy person, even though he's oftentimes in excruciating pain like that. So nasochati nakankshati. The materialists, they're hankering like anything for material sense gratification. This is described by Rishabhadev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now what is that verse? Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. Yad indriya pritaya. Their senses are so dear to them that they'll go to any means to try to gratify them. So recently we have this very sad example of Harish, who was killed murdered in America. And so generally these robbers that are coming to hold up these little convenience stores like that, oftentimes they're crack cocaine addicts. And so then they'll kill someone to get a few $100s, because oftentimes these stores, they don't keep a lot of money in the cash register. They have a safe which even the attendant cannot get into, and they're instructed that every 2 hours or so you drop most of the money, you just keep some change, you drop most of the money in the safe. So oftentimes it's $100, $200. So this is money that these crack cocaine addicts, they will spend it all in one night, and in the morning they will feel miserable because of taking this drug. And for that they will kill people. They're completely in ignorance, not knowing the laws of karma. They don't understand what severe karma and suffering they're creating for themselves by doing like this. And they're so greedy. Just yesterday I received an email. I think it was sent around it's being forwarded on Pam Ho. Many of you receive it. So now there's a proposal in the legislative branch of the American government. To legislate means to make laws. So this is called Congress. So now these big chemical companies that produce chemicals for growing food, they are proposing a law to make it illegal to farm organically without using chemicals. Not only are the major corporations who are doing organic farming at risk of losing their right to do that, but even the backyard gardener who's growing food only for his own family, if this law passes, then it will be illegal for him to grow without using chemicals. So these are big, big corporations, and the CEOs of these companies are extremely rich. They're very, very wealthy. They have more money than they can spend, but still they're trying to enact such insane laws. So this is pramatta. This is madness. This is going on. So this is material hankering and lamenting. Sometimes the non-devotees, they lament to the point where they commit suicide. Anyway, it gets very extreme. But there's also a spiritual hankering and lamenting, which is does not create anxiety. There's this one song by by Narottam Das Thakur. It's called The Lamentation in Separation from the Departed Vaishnavas. So this song we sing, Yeyanilo Premadana Karuna Prachur. So within that song, Narottam is saying, Pashane kutibo mata anale pashibo. I will smash my head against the rocks and I will enter into fire. So this sounds like suicide tendency in itself. Indeed, Srinivas Acharya, when he heard the glories of Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri and associate with Lord Chaitanya. And as he was traveling on the road, he was informed, Lord Chaitanya has left. And he went into deep misery and lamentation, and he started heading back then the way he came. But along the road, he had a dream, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said, no, go back to Nilachala. You can associate with my other associates there. So he's traveling along, and then he finds out, Gadadhar Pandit has left. Again, he sinks into an ocean of misery, and he starts heading back towards Gaudadesh. And so he wants to associate with Advaita and Nityananda. And he receives news, Advaita and Nityananda, they have left. And at this point, he's in so much misery, he wants to commit suicide. But then Advaita and Nityananda, they appear to him in a dream and say, no, don't commit suicide, don't worry, you go and associate with Rupa Goswami. I think he was in Vrindavan at the time. So in this way, the devotee, he is also experiencing some hankering and lamentation. Hankering is there also. Lord Chaitanya is giving some, he is lamenting also. Durdaiva midushami hajani nanuraga. Oh, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attachment for these holy names. And he's hankering. When will the day come when my eyes are, tears are flowing incessantly from my eyes, my voice is choked up, my body is shivering, my hairs are standing on end when I chant the holy name. And similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is hankering like that. aparada guchi harinama ruchi. When will I give up my offenses? When will I get a taste and relish the pure nectar of the holy name? So this hankering is there. But I can't say that I fully understand how this hankering or this lamentation is a form of ecstasy. Because it seems like in this description in Bhakti Ratnakara that Srinivas is suffering a great deal due to this lamentation. But maybe we can get a little glimpse into this spiritual hankering, this spiritual lamentation in our own lives. If we've ever stood before the deities or chanted our rounds in a mood of lamentation in the sense that, why am I still experiencing so much attachment to the material nature? Why, after chanting so many years, have I not achieved love of Godhead? If you've ever prayed like that or chanted your rounds in that mood, you come away not feeling disturbed or in material anxiety, but you feel a sense of purification. And purification means that we're uncovering the natural characteristics of the soul, which is to be fully joyful. This hankering then is actually required. Achintya Chaitanya was saying Laoyam, was telling us how this Laoyam is required in devotional service. Indeed, Rupa Goswami says, it's the only price that we can pay, that we must pay. This is a verse in Padyavali. I think I wrote down the Sanskrit here. Anyway, I can't seem to locate it. But this is a very nice verse from Padyavali. Rupa Goswami is explaining how this is required, this Laoyam. If we intensely pray then for this Laoyam, then we can hope to get it and then achieve success in our life by attaining pure devotional service. But without it, without this intense greed for it, then we will not get it. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sarav Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.